Let us pray. In this worship hour, O Lord, may it be a sweet hour of prayer. As we communicate with you, as we worship you, and as we listen to your inspiration in our time where we come together each week to praise your name. Bless us and touch us with your presence. Amen. Please stand. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Ullman Cancer Fund is what it says it is, in that young people who contract cancer need support in all kinds of different ways. Sydney is here today to share with us what that fund is all about. And what's nice is that we have a chance to contribute. So in our offering, if you'll simply make the check to Rockwood United Methodist, put down there Ullman Cancer Fund. And also, we need to know this. The lunch today is free. But we will have the chance to give at lunch as well for the Ullman Cancer Fund. Sydney, would you grace us with your presence at the lectern and tell us all about it?
Hello. For those of you who don't know me, I am Sydney Trim. My grandmother introduced me just a few minutes ago. My mother grew up here in this church, and some of you have probably also changed my diapers in the nursery as well when I was a little kid. So this summer, I'm going to be riding my bicycle across the country for 70 days to raise money for the Ullman Cancer Fund for young adults. So my grandmother called me a few days ago and told me that you guys were going to have a luncheon for me and asked me to prepare some words to speak at church. Well, I disobeyed her, and I did not prepare any words. It's one thing to disobey your mother, but to disobey your grandmother is, you know, you're threatening the end of the world. But I did not prepare anything because every year, 70,000 young adults are unprepared for a cancer diagnosis. So this summer, I will be riding my bicycle cross country in honor of them for support and to raise money. We will stop in 10 different cities along the way where we will deliver cancer care packages to young adults with cancer. We will host luncheons for their nurses and doctors as well as their families. We will also personally deliver 2 scholarships to young adults affected by cancer. So when I was riding over here this morning, I was thinking, well, what am I going to talk about for the Ullman Cancer Fund? You know, I talked about this a gazillion times. What am I going to tell you guys to the congregation to make you want to donate? There's all kinds of cancer funds set up and all different 5Ks and this and that. But I turned on my playlist on Spotify, and I don't know if any of you have heard the CDs that my father makes, but we're pretty good at putting together playlists. So turned on my PTL, aka Praise the Lord, playlist, and songs kept reoccurring, and I was listening to them. They kept saying, light the fire in my soul, fan the flame, make it grow, fan the flame, make it whole. And I thought about that, and I realized when I signed up to ride my bicycle cross country, this was my opportunity. God had lit the fire. As I continue to raise money, excuse me, as I attended the director's retreat a couple weeks ago, I realized what was happening. God was fanning the flame. He was using me and my connection with my mother's diagnosis to fan the flame and raise awareness for young adults with cancer. So what I'm asking you today is that in our luncheon, you help God fan the flame. Help me spread support and awareness for young adults with cancer all across this country. Thank you.
Thank you, Sydney. Sydney, many of us will be riding with you in spirit. That was, as I told you earlier, one of my goals in life, my bucket list, one of them, was to ride all the way across the country. Well, guess what? I have a hard time riding around the block, so. That's what happens when you put a decade or two on you. So, lady, you and your colleagues, you go for it. And you have a ball. And as I've told you and your grandmother, watch the loose gravel. Not nice to bicyclists. If you will, please turn to page 12 in our hymnal, and also the monitors on the walls and screens.
We'll begin our liturgy for the Lord's Supper. I always like to share with us that this is the Lord's table, the Lord's Supper, and everyone, regardless of denomination, is invited to participate. This is not a Methodist table. And since that is the case, when the appropriate time comes, we want you to come as well. This time, your persons administering the elements with me will stand here. If you would form lines down the center aisle, come and receive as we are standing. But as you go by the altar, if you'll drop your offering there in the rail, we'll collect it in that way. So when the time comes, we'll do that particular method. Hear now the invitation. Christ our Lord invites to his table all who love him, who earnestly repent of their sin and seek to live in peace with one another. Therefore, let us confess our sin before God and one another. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We've not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors, and we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
Glory to God. Amen. Hear now the prayers of the people. Once again, let us be in prayer. Hear our prayers of intercession, O Lord. We pray for those who are sick, members of our congregation, members of the community, and our acquaintances and loved ones throughout the world. We ask your special blessings upon them. Help them keep the faith and be with the doctors and nurses who work with them, that healing can indeed take place. Hear our prayer of intercession for our country. For this is an election year, and more and more and more, we and the world are seeing what we Americans are really like. We are hearing what appeals to so many Americans. And when we compare this with Jesus, we are shocked, amazed, and astounded. So we pray for our country and ask that you would help us deal with the realities that are upon us. Lord, we pray for government agencies everywhere. We pray for those who have to make decisions, and the decisions that have to be made, be they great or small, may they be in accordance with your will, with your desires, and may opportunities abound in every way. Lord, forgive us as we have asked you already of our shortcomings and set us right before you. For it is in Jesus' name that we pray this prayer.
Thank you.
Amen. This time I would like the boys and girls to come forward. I have something to talk with you about. Would you come? Glad to see all of you today. Today's sermon has to do with a couple of boys. A couple of boys like us, like him. One of the boys decides he's going to leave home. Have you ever wanted to run away from home? Good. Better not ask that one, has it? Well, have any of you girls wanted to run away from home? Good. Let's keep it that way. Well, this boy ran away from home, took his dad's money, which he gave to him because it was his, and he went away. Just never called home or anything. Well, he got in trouble. Look. Look at what he's doing. He's wishing he was home. What are those animals there? Pigs. Look here. That's the boy that left home. And he's tending pigs. Now, let me tell you something. He is a Jewish person. And Jews don't like pork. They don't like pigs. They won't eat sausage. And they won't eat bacon. Aren't you glad you're a Christian? I think so too. Yeah. So he's thinking. See him think right here? You know, my dad has servants that are better off than I am. I think I'm going to go home and beg my father to let me be a servant of his. So he starts walking. He wears out his sandals. He's walking barefooted now. But his dad has been wondering about where his son is, wishing his son were home. His dad keeps looking. He keeps looking down the road where the boy left. He went down that road, so he's still looking. Will he ever come back? And then he looks and he sees him. He's got sore feet now, because he doesn't have his shoes anymore, his sandals. And so what the man does, he runs to get his son. Well, wow, this is something, because a gentleman in that day and age, he didn't run. He just sat and told the people what to do. But this dad missed his boy so much that he ran. Now, the boy had a speech. He says, Father, I've sinned against God, sinned against you. Let me be a servant. And so the dad says, we welcome you back home. Now, this sort of thing is what God does, because God is that Father, and God always welcomes us back when we sin. Now, have you ever done anything wrong? Have your folks, have they welcomed you back? Made you feel like, well, we wish you hadn't done that, but you're our boy. Makes you feel good, doesn't it? What about you all? Have you ever done that? Never misbehaved a day in your life, have you? That's very leading, isn't it? And you all, when you get in trouble, aren't you so glad your folks welcome you back? Oh, yes. Well, this is what God is like. But we have to repent. We have to turn around and we have to come back. We have to come back to our parents, to our teacher, to our friends, And then it is up to God, our parents, our friends, to forgive us. And if we follow Jesus, that is exactly what will happen. Now look at this picture. Here's the dad welcoming his son. He's glad to see him. See him? There's the dad welcoming his son. And that's what we're supposed to do, because that story was told by Jesus. Now let's have a prayer. Thank you, O God, for sending Jesus to show us what you're like. And thank you for the story of the prodigal son. Let us follow those examples, especially when we mess up and want to repent and want to come home. Amen. And thank you all for coming up. I need to apologize to you for my choked up voice. I have an acute sinus infection, which is just simply aggravating everything through here. And it's hard to listen to me and it's hard to talk, but I'm gonna hang in there. I know what's the matter and I just have got to keep that antibiotic going. In the meantime, bear with me. And this is not coffee or anything else, but it is water. So let us keep that, shall we say, lubricated through here. The scripture today is one of the more famous ones in all of the Bible. It's from Luke 15, the first two verses, and then from 11 through 32. Now this chapter is the story of the lost items, the lost sheep, the lost coin, and the lost son. It's a very important passage because it deals with us human beings right where we live. We can identify with all of those lost sheep, lost coin, and then a lost son. So hear the word of the Lord. Now all the tax collectors and sinners were coming near to listen to him. And the Pharisees and the scribes were grumbling, saying, "This fellow welcomes sinners and eats with them." So he told them this parable, and then skipping, there was a man who had two sons. The younger of them said to the father, "Father, give me the share of the property that will belong to me." So he divided his property between them. A few days later, the younger son gathered all he had and traveled to a distant country. And there he squandered his property in dissolute living. When he had spent everything, a severe famine took place throughout that country. And he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, who sent him to his fields to feed the pigs. He would gladly have filled himself with the pods that the pigs were eating, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, "How many of my father's hired hands have bread enough and to spare? But here I am, dying of hunger. I will get up and go to my father, and I will say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me like one of your hired hands.' So he set off and went to his father. But while he was still far off, His father saw him and was filled with compassion. He ran and put his arms around him and kissed him. Then the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his slaves, quickly, bring out a robe, the best one, and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. And get the fatted calf and kill it. And let us eat and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to celebrate. Now, the elder son was in the field. And when he came and approached the house, he heard music and dancing. He called one of the slaves and asked him, what is going on? He replied, your brother has come. And your father has killed the fatted calf because he has got him back safe and sound. Then he became angry and refused to go in. His father came out and began to plead with him. But he answered his father, listen, for all these years, I've been working like a slave for you, and I've never disobeyed your command. Yet you have never given me a young goat so that I may celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours came back, who devoured your property with prostitutes, you killed the fatted calf for him. Then the father said to him, son, you're always with me, and all that is mine is yours. But we had to celebrate and rejoice, because this brother of yours was dead and has come to life. He was lost and has been found. Amen. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and may the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. The story of the prodigal. Oh my, how many of us have seen this happen? How many of us have been the prodigal? Has anyone in here besides me rebelled against their parents? Anybody want to raise their hands? I thought so. And some of you who didn't raise your hands need to talk to the Lord about honesty. This happens in life, but the main thing is to come back. To come back. And what's interesting is that this young man just tore his father's heart out. Notice what he says, I want what is mine. Now, in that day and age, the elder brother got 2/3 of the estate. The younger brother got 1/3. Now, this figures later in the story. So the father had to liquidate part of his earnings, part of his property, part of what he had. He had to liquidate it and then give him 1/3. So this was not an easy task. Apparently, this father had servants, and he had to deal with all of that. Okay, so the young man gets the money. He takes off. Who knows what he does? Dissolute living? You know, you can have a lot of friends in life if you give money away. Did you know that? It's true. But when you run out of money, you run out of friends. That's true. So this young man thought he wanted to be away from his family. He had money, but he didn't know how to keep it. So he asked for a job. And so this man was Gentile who gave him the job, and he thought he'd have a little fun with this Jew boy. He sent him to look after the pigs. Now that is an abomination for Jews. I think I've told you, however, that's not always the case. My roommate in college was Jewish, and he went through the cafeteria line. There was a pork chop there. He got one. No, I think he got two. I said, "Ron, that's pork. Looks like steak to me." And so he had the pork. So you see, not every Jew is going to be that strict. But for this young man to deal with pigs was an insult to the very core of who he was. He was hungry. He wished he could have eaten the food the pigs were eating. So he came to himself. Now that is what repentance is all about. How many of us are caught up in systemic issues of our culture? We simply are going along with it. We have to play along because they give us our paycheck. Although we know we don't want to do that, but they give us the paycheck, so we have to do what they say. This can eat on us because it is not the true self. Sometimes we willfully do things we know are wrong, and yet we keep doing them. We get in the habit. And if we don't stop it, if we don't repent, it becomes part of our fiber, part of who we are. And then we really are in trouble because we've gotten so accustomed to that particular aberrant behavior that we just do it kind of naturally, even though it's not really who we are. Now that's tough, but all of us face that and are caught up in it every day of our lives. This young man hurt so very badly that he came to himself. My true self is not separation from my family. It is not feeding pigs, but it is being a part of my family. That's what repentance is. It's turning around. It's simply taking another course of action, another lifestyle, as the case may be. So he says, "I'll go back to my dad and ask for a position as a slave." He couldn't get that speech out when he got home. Now, picture in your mind's eye, here this young man, he's likely got torn clothes, they're worn out. And he's limping because he's been barefooted. He's used to having sandals, and they'll protect the feet somewhat. So here he comes. And so his dad sees him. He's been looking every day since he left. He's, that looks like my boy. Oh, man, is he messed up? That can't be my boy. Look at him limp. My boy, why, he was strutting around here with his money. Is that he? And then it comes into focus and, boom, he's gone. He welcomes. Now that's an interesting way to look at a person who sinned against you, who has torn your heart out and stomped on it. And that's what the young man did to the boy, and what the young man did to the father. But the father is bigger than playing tit for tat. Bigger than torturing him. He could have really had a field day, you know. He could have let loose some of his anger and fury on that young man, made him grovel more, made him pay. But he didn't. He welcomed him. He kissed him. He hollered for a robe, which means he is important. A slave wouldn't wear a robe. Hollered for a ring, a signet ring. This means authority, because you put that ring's mark in hot wax, and then that was the symbol of power, of importance. And then sandals. Slaves didn't wear sandals. People who were citizens, who had status, they wore sandals. And he welcomed him. Lovely thing about it is, he's, let's go kill that fatted calf. Now that means there's going to be a party. And even as the party developed, there's another actor in this drama, the older brother. He smells food cooking. He'll be hungry too, of course. But then there's dancing. What's going on? He asked the servant. Well, your brother's back. And your dad has repeated all of what his dad gave him. And he's throwing a party. Now, picture in your mind's eye this particular young man who's beginning to swell up. He has really got the pouts going. Have you ever had the pouts going? Where you just simply are so angry you can't stand it? And so the dad comes out because this older brother won't even go in. The dad comes out and says, come on in. Come on in. Your brother's back. And then I just read you the dialogue. I've done everything you wanted. I've lived by the rules. And you never gave me anything to celebrate with. Well, that might have been a problem, but that's not the point of the story. And maybe we need to praise all of our children for what they are doing, and have a party with them for no reason. We used to give Sean an allowance. Back then, $5 was a lot. So we'd give him $5 a week. And we told him, son, this is yours. You don't have to do anything with it, or you haven't done anything to earn it. Now, if you want more, you can do these chores, but here, this is yours, he used to say to me, he said. So this allowance I'm getting, this $5 is just simply for being alive? I said, yep, that's yours. You just go with it. Of course, he had other chores and cut yards during the spring and summer and fall, so he knew how to earn money. And he's making good money now, but we hadn't seen any of it yet, so we'll see. So, what's going on here is that this young man, the older brother, he just swells up, he pouts, he lashes into his dad, and his dad says, son, look, all that I have is yours. Now, did you get that one? Even though the younger brother's back, there will be no more division of the property. The older boy gets everything. So when the young man wanted his third, that's all he got. All that I have is yours. But we had to celebrate, for this your brother was dead, and he's alive. He was lost, and he was found. And that's the way it ends. I've often wondered, if that older brother ever came around. I've often wondered how he greeted the younger brother, if he did come around, because there is obviously a difference in the demeanor between the dad and the older brother. And this came home to me when Virginia shared something that a friend of hers put on Facebook. Now, she's doing well, Virginia is, because she's limiting her activity on Facebook to an hour a day for Lent. I think she's doing beautifully, but I'm not sure I am, but I didn't do that for Lent. How are you doing with your Facebook? Are you pinned to it for half a day at a time? You know, you can find all kinds of things on Facebook, more than you ever wanted to know. But anyway, this friend of hers sent her a picture of a note that she had written. This friend of hers and her family were in a restaurant car lane or line to pick up their food at the window. Well, things apparently were going slowly. So somebody in the back of the car, and the car just behind them, yells at them and said something to the effect of, hurry up, you blank, 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 and blank. That's the sort of language you might hear along the political campaign these days. So what happened was that Judy asked the cashier, "I want to pay for their dinner. How much?" And so the cashier said, "Well, their dinner's going to cost this amount." And Judy wrote on a piece of paper and told the cashier to give it to them. "We have paid for your dinner, and we are not blankety, 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 blank, blank. We love you with a heart." Now, who knows what they did with that? But this is what we can do in dealing with the older brother. And all of us have seen older brothers around us. All of us can do something to cut away that edge, that negativity, that dark side that continually spews out in our society in these days and times in which we live. Most of us, if we get insulted, we want to fire back, don't we? If somebody calls us a bad word, we'll call them two more bad words. And this is the kind of winding down that you find these days. But the opportunities abound. Because Jesus said one time, if somebody slaps you on one side of the face, turn the other one to them. Somebody takes your coat, give him your cloak. The point is, violence can stop with us, and we can overcome evil with goodness. And it didn't cost Judy all that much to buy their dinner, but it caused them to stop. What is this? I've insulted them, and they're buying my dinner? That's the kind of radical love that we can do today. And in so doing, we can act like the father who had his heart torn out by the younger boy and stomped on the ground. But yet, when the boy came home, he reached and held him and kissed him and restored him. May God help all of us in this way. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us continue with our communion liturgy. We find it on page 13 as well as on the screens. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is right and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere, to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. And so, with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took bread, gave thanks to you, broke the bread, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." When the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so, in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. Amen. Well, those assisting with communion, would you come?